Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Howdy, good morning. It's a Saturday for Radio History here. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Welcome to the world of radio here in El Paso, where we do history every Saturday at 10 to noon. Today's no different. We got some unusual history today, but sometimes it's unusual.
Yes,
and we are the crowd that always says that, as we're live here on KTSM AM 690, we always say Texas history begins in El Paso. And we say that because it's true.
That's true. Yes.
And indeed,
I'm not going to argue it.
The other thing we do is that we broadcast on the 690 signal locally. That's been the tradition for this station forever. But the new thing, last 10 years.
New thing, yes.
New thing would thang. Be that. You're the one that's supposed to now pitch in and say, Internet.
Oh, the Internet. Well, I was waiting for you. You were going on. I was just listening. Or
how do they do that on the Internet, Melissa?
They can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link where they can listen to us live all over the planet.
Trivia today?
Yes, we do. We have trivia in hour two with Pepe's Coupons. So if we have two callers that call in with the right questions to answer the trivia, they will have this wonderful $20 certificate to Pepe's in Canutillo for their wonderful food.
Some of us are going to lunch at Pepe's today.
Yes, I think we can make it today.
You can do this. The sergeants will be there?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so then there's three of us that will go out there. But also the history moment. Is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. You know, we're going to be talking about the Cowboys encountering the Marfa Lights in the late 1800s.
Okay, that should be fun because the rest of our program is sort of centered around similar subjects in the sense of, well, yes and no. I mean, if you know what you're thinking about and looking at, that may or may not be appropriate. But the deal is, the question is I asked on the promo, have you ever seen a UFO, unidentified flying object, around El Paso? And many people apparently have, and
that's
we've got some in the studio this morning.
We're
We're going to talk about what they have found out when they have seen things. And what got me into doing this subject today was there was a Harvard astronomer. Their top astronomer says an alien ship may be among us. And I got to looking at that saying, so I read that. It was in the Washington Post article.
Interesting article, yeah.
And he is one of those types that thinks and looks in telescopes and makes pronouncements. And what he said was that he thinks there's an alien ship that came through our solar system a few weeks ago. And it's like, okay, what do you do with that?
Well, he was saying it was a probe that he thought it. He thought it was a probe because it was just not, you know, people were saying it was what, like they thought it was a, what am I looking for?
I don't know. But the point, the guy said,
falling star type thing, but it was just moving way too fast and in control.
So. It had properties that didn't match, so that's why he got involved. So that got me to thinking, and I made one phone call and found five people showed up today this morning with stories about aliens in El Paso. So let's go around the room and find out who is here. On the left of your radio, Diana Calamia. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson and Melissa. How are you guys
doing?
Good morning.
We are good. And we should also introduce you as the psychic person that I have worked with on ghost videos.
Yes, I'm that psycho.
And you have next to you...
No, not psychotic.
Your husband, J.R. Calamia.
The other psycho.
Now that's the psychotic.
Yeah, the psychotic.
Jeez.
That's right.
And Eloise, I'll let you introduce yourself. You were here this morning?
Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody. I'm Eloise Gonzalez. I'm also the head of the Mount Franklin UAP group.
Meaning
Mount Franklin UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, which encompasses anything from seeing crafts of some weird type, orbs, lights, anything that's unusual and doesn't fit into our, whatever we believe in. So that's who I am.
Also here this morning, we have Art Rayner. Are we on?
Rayon.
Tell me how you say your name is Rayon.
It's Rayon. It's actually French, but Rayon is the Spanish name. So
there you are. And your first name is Art.
Yes, sir.
One more person here in the room here to introduce, and her name is Rita Freeman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And you have a specific story you want to tell. We'll get to you in a minute here about that specific story because you have seen things in Northeast El Paso.
That's right.
And somewhere near the Archaeology Museum.
That's true. Over by Archaeology Museum from Northeast, I saw what I would refer to as a floating platform.
Interesting. Let's take that again in a minute and go into more detail. I'd like to have J.R. Calamia do some background thinking with us here on the UFO business in the region of El Paso, because that hit the fan pretty good in 1947 up the street in Roswell, New Mexico. And so a lot of people are familiar with that. They're familiar with Project Blue Book. Some people have heard that, which was a U.S. Air Force project. So if you don't mind explaining both of those, anybody else wants to chime in if you have info, please do so.
The Blue Book right now, History Channel's been doing stories from the Blue Book.
Right. I can tell you one thing that Blue Book is not, Project Blue Book is not, and that's not the History Channel's version of what you see on television.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I know. I was disappointed, actually.
Well, okay, but also the series that's on the CW network, mm-hmm. Roswell. That's bogus. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So go ahead, JR.
Okay, well, Project Blue Book actually started from 1947 to 1949 under the guise of Project Grudge. And then they specifically were looking into some of the unusual sightings that were spotted by World War II pilots during the war, near the end of the war, called Foo Fighters. So they didn't know what they were, so they opened up this Project Grudge. Project Grudge later became Project Sign, S-I-G-N, that started from 1949 to the early part of 1951. And again, their main mission was to try and figure out what they were seeing. Now, in the movie that you mentioned about Project Blue Book on television, Dr. Hynek actually started with the Air Force in 1952. That part of the movie is probably true. Now, Project Blue Book actually started in about 1951 or 1952, but its mission had changed. In actuality, the Air Force was then trying to basically guise or cover up the sightings to explain that they were nothing more than normal objects, meteors, comets, and things of that nature.
Wasn't the 47 Roswell supposed to be a weather balloon?
Yes, it was.
They got really excited about that weather balloon.
Really excited, yeah. you know, actually, in June of 47, there was a sighting by Kenneth Arnold in Washington State. This was a month before the actual alleged UFO crash in Roswell. He saw three or four flying discs. They were not discs. They were heel-shaped objects. And he chased them and couldn't catch up with them. When he landed, he mentioned what he had seen. He said they reminded him of a saucer, like a cup saucer, skimming across the water.
That's where the name began.
Right. And the news picked it up, the news media.
A flying saucer.
Then they became AKA flying saucers. And shortly thereafter, a month later, Mac Braswell had a ranch out in Roswell, New Mexico. And it was July the 4th. He was walking out in his area because there had been some unusual activity. And at that time, he found, or is alleged to have found, crash debris all over the land that went for, you know, four or five blocks.
Right. It happened that night, or when did he find it?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting question, because a lot of people think that he watched it crash, and that's not true, because when he found the debris, a lot of those alleged alien bodies were already in a state of decomposition.
Oh.
So, you know, we always say on or about July the 4th.
Okay, so that's the Roswell story. And it has been bunked and debunked forever. And
it has. The Air Force, it crashed, and they contacted the 509th Bomb Group, which carried nuclear weapons at that time. And the Army went out there, and the rest of the story is history. They allegedly cleaned up everything and took the alien bodies for scientific study. Some of those bodies are alleged to have been flown to Fort Worth, Texas, and then on to other places in the United States.
Any other thoughts from anybody about this? You've heard these thoughts forever, Eloise, Art. But okay, so does that sum up what is Roswell in the history?
Well, basically, it goes. You know, a lot of this is just the top of the iceberg. But as the main event, yes. Now there was allegedly two or three other crashes as well. I'd like to mention one other, if I may. This one, to me, is actually more exciting than the Roswell one. It was a crash that occurred in Aztec, New Mexico, on a mesa top, and it started in 1948. There was a goat rancher by the name of Archuleta. He got up one more. He was, by the way, he was a survivor of the Bataan Death March. He was a POW with the Japanese, and he had come back home. And he was ranching on this area near Aztec, New Mexico. About 5:30 in the morning, he gets up to go, I guess, feed the goats or whatever, and he sees this disc, a very large disc, going over his ranch house and going in a northerly direction. This craft starts to wobble, and he's watching it, and as it wobbles, it ricochets off the top of one of the mesas, and he could see sparks. The craft continued to go north. So he calls, it took him three telephone calls. He calls the military. And finally he reaches them and he says, you know, I see one of these flying discs that you're interested in, and it just went over my house. And so while he's doing this, there are a lot of El Paso gas workers who are working in the area at the time, gas and oil workers. And two of them are asked, they said, you better get up to such and such mesa top in Hart Canyon, H-A-R-T, Canyon, because there seems to be a brush fire. So these two individuals say, okay, we're going to handle it. So they drive up there, and when they arrive, there's a bunch of other people there already, and there is this alleged huge craft, and it's measured, it was about 100 feet in diameter. And it was basically two stories or two decks. And people were already climbing over this thing and looking at it.
Where'd those people come from?
Well, some of them were the ranchers, and some were the other oil well workers who in the area.
Have you ever been up there?
No, but I really would like to go up there.
Well, it's probably been cleaned up like anything else, right?
Well, yes, it has been, but a plaque has been put up. And while I'm at it, let me mention this. There's an extremely good book that's come out, and it's called The Aztec UFO Incident by Scott and Suzanne Ramsey and a Frank Thayer, Ph.D. It's a superb book on this particular wreck. And the research is tremendous. It's just truly a tremendous book.
This is an industry that with books and everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Aztec's north of Farmington, New Mexico, so it's pretty far north up towards the Four Corners. Well, not the Four Corners, but east of the North Fourth.
It's in the upper left-hand corner.
Right
as you're looking at New Mexico.
It's about 18 miles from the Colorado border, I believe.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Well, this is an interesting discussion already. We've come to our first commercial break, and we haven't even talked to most of you. But we do need to get a couple of things up. If you don't mind, Eloise, somebody gave me a sheet here that says MUFON, statistics for January 2019. And it says United States, 624 UFO reports. Texas had 66, California 77. Who compiles all this?
That's all compiled by MUFON, Mutual UFO Network.
Okay.
You can go on the internet under their, you know, MUFON.com, and they compile that each month, and there's also the latest 20 sightings that are listed as well.
So there's a lot going on here.
Tremendous amount.
All right, and Eloise, we'll talk further about the things you have seen, because I posted on our Facebook page,
right,
El Paso History Radio Show, I put on there a golden-looking light
orb
ball of something that you took the picture.
Yes, I took the picture.
And where were you?
Well, I was outside my place, and it was late at night. Well, not really late, 9-ish. And I decided I was going to go get some Starbucks coffee because I love coffee. And I got in my car, and as soon as I got in the car and just started driving, all of a sudden I see this orb right in front of me. It was huge. And I'm like going like, oh, my God, you know, OMG, what is this?
This is in El Paso?
In El Paso.
On the west side?
West side.
What? How long ago?
This was December of 2013.
Okay.
Yes. And so then I, stopped the car. I got out and I'm just looking at it. It's like nothing. There was no people, no cars. Everything kind of like stopped. It was dead silence. And it was just this orb right on top. I looked at it for a while, and then I always have my cell phone close by. So I said, oh, let me take a picture. So I grabbed my phone and I started clicking and took several pictures of it. But it was just there. I mean, wasn't moving, nothing. And then all of a sudden, maybe after like 5 or so minutes, it could have been longer, I don't know. It started sort of gradually moving left, and it seemed like it started getting smaller. And then, like a lot of these cases where people see orbs, boom, just gone.
It's gone.
Disappeared.
All right. We're going to take a break. Eloise is in here with her story. And also, we put up on the Facebook page an email you created for people
yes.
who want to get a hold of you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, and what is that email? Just say it.
It's a Mount Franklin UAP group.
After the break, we'll come back.
I'll be putting it on the Facebook page also.
Yes, it's mt.franklin.uap.group.gmail.com.
We'll go on our Facebook page to get it exactly.
Yeah, before the end
yes,
of the show.
It's long.
Melissa, have you been through any of this kind of stuff?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that. There was something that Bernie and I were in the backyard of the Upper Valley, and we were just kind of laying out there watching the stars because you could still see them better years ago in our backyard in the valley. And we were watching something, and all of a sudden we noticed this real long, not wasn't a streak, but a movement of something going from the north to the south. And we're going, it was very, very high. It was too high for me to be a plane.
What was it shaped like?
You couldn't see it. It was a light.
Oh.
But it was way too high to be a plane. It was not a jet.
Wasn't a satellite?
No, satellites, as far as I know, and we have a rocket scientist, don't run north to south.
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just kidding about being a rocket scientist.
No, the polar orbit.
But, I mean, yeah.
For all of the satellites, that's all it does.
Does it run north?
Yeah,
I didn't realize. Well, whatever. But it was moving awfully fast. And it was just, we watched it and went, well, that's really
odd. Well, maybe.
But
see, that's just
it. Who knows?
There's unidentified phenomenon going on. And sometimes you can trace that to something.
Yeah.
But what we're finding out here with this group, we're tracing it and there's no explanation.
Exactly. I mean, and there's always, like you said, there's always explanations. And then again, there's not always explanations.
Well, let's
That's I always try to keep an open mind. I'll kid about it, but there's always something that makes something very unusual.
We've got four more. I'm sorry.
Right. And I want to say that as you read and you read more about these cases, there's thousands of cases. And it doesn't only happen in the United States. I mean, it's all over the world. Every country you go to, I mean, they have their stories about things that people see. So, I mean, it's very common, the orbs.
I also think a lot of people who don't want to see these just say, you didn't see nothing. And that's the end of it for them. But if anybody wants to pursue it, you're willing to talk to them. We'll put that email online here.
We do need
to take a break.
Oh,
I'd sort of like to hold off phone calls for this hour, come back second hour and take some phone calls from the people of their stories, because we have more stories to tell here is the issue. In the meantime, direct people to our Facebook page.
Yes, you can go to the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, which I will have these lovely people's pictures up shortly. And we'll also have some links where you can contact them if you want to talk to them or get involved.
See you in a minute.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today, because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts GROW to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text GROW to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. GROW to 85850.
Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, guys, picking up our discussion, which is continuing during the break.
Are we on the radio?
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready now to go back on the air, so if you don't mind, thank you very much. Okay, but just a couple of things to let you know is on Saturday, March the 2nd, beginning at 9 a.m., there's a grand tour of the El Paso border with Mexico. You can learn about 175 years of El Paso border history by going on this thing. They had a very successful one last week.
Yeah.
Bernie Sargent was in charge of, apparently. He said 41 people showed up and did the tour last Saturday at 9 a.m. So this one is next weekend. That's next weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is next weekend. And so that's going to be at, where is it? The American Dam Field Office of the International Boundary Water Commission at 2616 West Paisano. Take a short walk across the American Canal to boundary marker number one. And as you read the marker and listen to your guide, Mark Howell of the IBWC, you can straddle the border with one foot in the U.S. and the other in Mexico. But if you do that, you can get arrested.
Well, only if you put both feet in.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
And they're pretty nice to you over there. They just stand there and watch and laugh.
Where are they going after that?
I've done to me. You know? Okay. And from there, you'll continue east on Paisano to Old Fort Bliss, Hart's Mill, and the historic La Hacienda Restaurant. There, Robert Diaz, president of the El Paso Historical Society, will talk about the border history from 1840 to 1900. And finally, you'll stay in Paisano and go to the Chamizal National Memorial, and there you'll explore with Ranger Rodney Sauder the history of how the Chamizal Convention of 1963 finally ended a century-long border dispute. And they've got more information with a map of what the trail's going to look like if you go to celebrateelpasohistory.org, where you can get to learn more about the tour and sign up and such. But these tours are really, really great. And this one, I think, is especially particular right now is what's going on the border. You can actually see and be on both sides of the river on this one.
It's an interesting thing that Jim Tolbert has done because he and other people, Randy Limbert in the past, created Celebration of Our Mountains, which actually was a UTEP creation within the geology department. They were just showing their own students around the city.
Yeah.
And they decided to open up to the public, and it became a big deal.
Oh,
it's now official. And so now what's occurred is Jim Tolbert has said, let's do another whole equal thing on just the history.
Yeah.
So
and yeah,
he's doing
sense.
Tours everywhere.
Yeah, and people are showing up for these things.
And they really are, because you know why? We were not taught our history growing up in this town. You've learned more history since you came to live here.
Yeah, I mean, and I've always kind of liked history, and I just think it's fascinating. El Paso's got tons of history to learn. So, you know, and you meet people, and they're just very interested in the history of El Paso.
What we have is a Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. If you have a comment right now for us on our current discussion, why don't you go take it there? Melissa will look at it and give it to us. El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook. In the meantime, I think, Rita, let's talk to you about your story. Rita is here, and Rita Freeman, you are the lady that talked earlier about a location of a sighting at your home in the side yard on in northeast El Paso near Trans Mountain Road. And when? Oh, January, you have a sheet here, January the 7th of 2008, in 10:30 at night. What happened?
I was returning home from a class at UTEP. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I wanted to get my books out of my car and go in my house. And then I came back a second time to get my purse and other things. And at that time, I noticed that there were heat waves coming from my head to my arms, to my legs, to my feet. This was cold and wintry, and I didn't understand why I was feeling heat. And I did that a couple of times. I noticed what's going on, and I finally decided that there was something happening up above my head. I looked straight up, and I could not see anything. I could not see the stars. I could not see the moon. All I saw was some kind of object going overhead. It looked black and shiny and moving very slowly right over my head. I don't think it was flying. I use the word gliding or just floating over my head. This object covered my house. It covered half of my neighbor's house to my left and to my right. And I stood there for 5-10 minutes just looking straight up and noticing this heat coming out of this object. This object was coming from behind me. My house faces Mount Franklin in the area where the archaeology museum is. I just stood there and looked up, and this thing just floated over my head. It seemed solid. It was, like I said, dark. I did notice some lights at intervals on the sides of this object. They were round, and the light seemed to be inside of the object. The object, like I said, moved very slowly and right over my head. If you put two light poles, one on top of the other, that's the height of the object going over my head, and very slowly. And I could not understand what I was looking at, but I continually felt these heat waves coming from the object. It just moved over my head. I wanted to go call a neighbor to come out and see what was going on, but I don't think I could get anybody out because their lights on their houses were already off and maybe they were in bed. All I did was just stand there looking straight up, still saw this object going over my head, and it went, and I kept looking at it until it went over toward Mount Franklin. And I wondered whether that object was going to angle itself to go over the mountain. But instead, I was surprised to see it go straight into the mountain and disappear.
Whoa. Is that the end of the story?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's a cliffhanger. I want to read the next chapter. Rita.
Well, I want to interject here.
And Eloise, go.
I've talked to several people, you know, over the past years. And I have come across stories where people here in El Paso have had experiences that are similar, where they see some kind of object and it goes towards the mountain and just disappears into the mountain.
Oh boy! Now, so, how do you deal with that?
I know it's kind of weird, but I mean, it's just experiences. People see things. There's a lot of stuff that we cannot explain.
Rita, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think really was going on there?
Well, like I said, it covered my whole house, the half of the house on my left and my right. And I do remember that it was in height. The height of this object was at least one or two stories, what we would consider one or two stories.
Were there any lights on this thing?
There were lights embedded into the bottom of this object as it was going overhead. I could see lights under it.
You couldn't feel what you were feeling was heat?
Heat.
From this thing?
There was a lot of heat coming because it was winter and I was wearing my jacket and my coat.
Well, was enough,
I could feel the heat coming from this object.
It was enough heat to burn you?
Well, enough to where I could feel, and I said, how is that possible? This is cold and it is night.
All right, this was 2008. It was a Tuesday, January the 7th, about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Rita, bizarre story. And you're sticking to it.
Well, the point is that you want an explanation.
I'd loved one, but...
I've seen a lot of things, but this I needed to know. And then, like I said, I expected the craft to angle itself and go over the mountain. It went straight into the mountain, disappeared into the mountain.
Would you know, was that North Mount Franklin itself, or was it South Mount Franklin?
It was South area right where the archaeology museum is right now, the border.
Was it the peak with the towers on it?
No.
Okay, it was the other one?
Yes,
okay.
it's where the Border Patrol Museum is located.
I know, but from that point, you can angle to either of those peaks.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And being it was a dark-shaped disc, and the only reason I'm saying is perhaps it would blend it into the mountainside, but then as it goes up, it perhaps changes because of the shine on the or you may not even seen it go up out of the mountain just because it's stealth in its own sense.
So you're not buying the fact that she says went into the mountain.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe because of like a lot of things, you would want it. Who'd want to be seen if you wanted to be stealth? It could be changing with.
Well,
this.
And I'll step in at this.
Diana,
point.
Go ahead.
Okay,
talking to that.
We do believe that Mount Franklin is a portal, or that it has the ability of.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that again, different objects from different time frames, different whatever.
Yeah.
Can use that portal. As a way to come in and out of this
passing
area.
Through, okay.
Now, there's a story you don't hear every day about North and Mount Franklin and El Paso. So when you talk about El Paso history, this is encompassing something that a lot of people don't really get their hands on. But it's interesting to have eyewitnesses staring at me telling me these things happened.
Yes, in fact, I have one member of our group that he's told us his stories, and they're right here, you know, close by New Mexico, Ruidoso area. And he seemed to have seen something similar to what Rita saw up in the sky also. So, I mean, there's a lot of stories that you hear about that are very similar.
I think we need to take a break. What do you think, Sergio? Sergio Valenzuela is sitting in there. Bernie Sargent is in there call screening, but frankly, Bernie, since we asked for no calls, why don't you call Bernie up anyway and just talk to Bernie, because Bernie looks lonely.
He has nothing else to do.
No, we appreciate Bernie doing this, because Bernie's normally a guest on this show talking about all kinds of El Paso history. And also, just to mention, Bernie and I have put together an interesting series on ABC7, one piece of which aired last Wednesday night. And that one was on the International Museum of Art, and it aired at 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. on ABC7. And we are doing what we can do to push El Paso history into the mainstream of El Paso. And I want to thank Kevin Lovell and Brenda DeAnda Swan over at KVIA for very much appreciating what we do and backing what we do. And they understand the history. They just don't have a large enough resource staff to run out and produce these little pieces like we do. It takes weeks to produce these things. Because what you got to do on a two-minute piece, Melissa, you remember what we did for the Women's Club. What you got to do is understand the entire subject to learn how to put only 2 minutes on the air.
Yeah.
You have to know what to cut out. So, Bernie, you got to call in there. Talk to Bernie and see what happens. If it's worthy, we'll put him on the air, but I want to hold the calls till we come around the room and do the stories. And what's on Facebook going on right now?
Vince Sanchez, because he lives way down in Clint, and it's pretty dark out there. And he says he's seen some oddball things out there in Clint. So, who knows?
I mean, second hour, we'll take phone calls on this stuff. In the meantime, look at Facebook. We're going to take one more break and come back. Sergio, thank you for doing what you're doing. But 3, 2, 1, go.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history.
And then we'll
go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-204-0104. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in urges to pee, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-204-0104. 1-800-204-0104. 1-800-204-0104.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Oh, a lot going on here. We are stirring people up on Facebook. We're stirring people up in the room. And we're just going to tell you a bunch of history and get back into this conversation, because the history lessons we have include the Rio Grande chapter of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. That's a whole big name there. And they're going to be Friday, March the 8th, 2019 at the Greenery. That's inside Sun and Park Mall. 11 a.m. program is a Texas History Month presented by Betty Phillips and Dorothy Elder. Visitors interested in Texas history are welcome. Information 760-5775. Harvey Girls of El Paso, Texas are meeting Monday, March the 11th at the Union Passenger Station Depot, 700 West San Francisco. 2 p.m., the program is History of Railroad Police. Railroad Cops, Protection of Passengers and Freight, presented by Woody Bear.
Yes.
Now, Woody's coming in also to give us a talk next week, actually, on stuff they found in a brand new old old brand new railroad car. Somebody was living in it.
Yep.
And so they ended up capturing it. Anyway, that program he's presenting on Monday the 11th at the Harvey Girls, 2 p.m., 591-2326 for info.
Now, you've also got the El Paso Corral of the Westerners International's meeting Friday, March 15th at the Holiday Inn at I-10 and Sunland Park Drive. And their program this time is Women of the Raid on Columbus. Now, but that's the one that was done by Pancho Villa, and it's presented by Patricia Kidney, and its dinner program is only $20. Visitors are welcome, but you must RSVP by Monday, March 11th to 915-759-9638. Then you have Club Friendship, and they will meet Tuesday, February 26th at St. Paul's Methodist Church on Edgemere at 11 a.m., and their program is Black History in the Southwest. Their luncheon and program is only $10, and visitors also are welcome there, and their number is 591-2326.
It's an interesting topic we're looking at, alien potential, and it's been something that's been in our history of human beings ever since we've been able to write. There are many references in the Bible to spacecraft, and Ezekiel comes to mind. He had a serious spacecraft. I mean, what was that thing?
The wheel within a wheel.
That's it. Art Rayon, and do you remember that story?
I do remember the story. It's kind of controversial, depending on who you talk to.
Sure.
You talk to skeptics, and they say, well, it means something else entirely. But
they don't tell you what that is, I'm guessing.
And that's usually the case, right? Right.
So. Well, Art, you're one of the people that volunteered to show up with the story.
I am.
And I think you actually involved one of our sponsors, but we'll get to that.
I would say I got started really reading and researching UFOs after I heard a story from my dad who experienced an actual structured craft sighting in the mid-70s. He was at a VFW meeting in Anthony. And he told me that he was going down I-10, it was probably about 10 p.m. At the time, and back in the mid-70s, I-10 between Anthony and El Paso was a dark ride.
It wasn't I-10 the freeway?
Yes.
Well, it was a freeway?
It was a freeway,
okay.
I-10 heading east, so he's going back home from Anthony.
Okay.
And he lived in the valley at the time, and... he said that farther on, as he was driving down I-10, farther on down the road, he saw what appeared to be a large overpass. And he knew instantly that would have been impossible because there wasn't a large overpass over I-10 between Anthony and El Paso at the time. Mm-hmm. And as he approached the quote-unquote overpass, he noticed that it was not an overpass, but instead a craft hovering above I-10.
Oh, boy.
He said it was probably 100 feet or so above the freeway. And as he got closer, he noticed that this craft, he described it as an airliner with no wings and green-lit windows. And he went ahead and punched it. Drove under the craft, and his car started to stall. And as he passed under it, it seemed the car did not stall. And he said he never looked back and raced home as fast as he could. And really, that was the start of my interest in the UFO phenomenon.
He said it was hovering?
He said it was hovering above I-10.
Oh, my.
Right. And since then... I've been interested. I've had a couple of sightings myself. I've actually seen an orange glow lift out of what seemed like the Coronado area. In 6 seconds, it was out of sight. And that happened in 2013. It was like middle of May. And I was standing on a third floor balcony overlooking the Balboa area, Coronado, and then the mountains. And it seemed like this glow actually rose out from possibly one of the arroyos that you see all over the Coronado Park area, and that was pretty spectacular.
Oh, kind of like going back to what you were saying, is possibly being a portal. Maybe it's on the west side. You have the same thing.
Well, JR can also tell you about it, about an incident where he saw a craft actually go down into an arroyo also. I don't think the arroyos themselves may actually be portals, but I think that there may be an area where they may go to hover to do whatever it is that they're needing to do and then to rise back out of and keep going.
So, I can't wait the second hour. We'll open up the phones and see if we get some other people corroborating, because Rita's story, possibly other people saw that.
Yeah, who knows?
Art, what else to tell us? Because you also said you moved to a new apartment.
I moved to a new apartment with a nice balcony with the Franklin Mountains directly in view. And I've seen lights in the Franklin Mountains. Actually, I've only lived there for a month, maybe 5 weeks. And there was a period of about 2 weeks where I did see lights in the Franklins. They were like bluish white. They'd appear in one area, and then the next instant they were in another area, and then the next instant they were in another area.
Did they seem to be on the mountain or floating around?
They were about, I can see Trans Mountain from where I live. They were between Trans Mountain and the top of the mountain. We're talking the northern part of the Franklins.
And you mean North Mount Franklin?
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
Okay.
Heading towards the Anthony Gap.
Okay. So, yeah, you said you're in a brand new apartment.
Right.
How great is it?
It's great.
What's the name of it?
Las Mansiones.
Ah, see?
Oh, that's what you're
about. We're one of our major sponsors here, so I thought I'd just...
Cheap plug.
No, it was a very expensive plug.
Now we know where to find him. That's not good.
Uh-oh.
That's okay.
I'll bring it over in his patio.
Eloise, you were going to give us a list of people who could be contacted.
You know, because... when you want to read or you want to see a video or on any of this, any subject that pertains to this, you want to make sure that you go to the reputable people. Now, there's a bunch of people out there, researchers, authors. I mean, some of these are astronauts, ex-astronauts, PhDs. I'm going to throw out some names. Linda Moulton Howe. She's a journalist, a researcher, and an author. Really great. You can go onto YouTube and, you know, she has her videos there. Nick Pope, he originally was from England. David Childress, Eric Van Doniken, which I know most of you probably know about. John DeSalsa, he was actually an FBI agent, retired, and now he does research on UFOs and in related subjects. Richard Dolan also is a very reputable person to look up. And, you know, you can look up these people in YouTube and, you know, you're going to find lectures, videos on lectures and interviews with these guys. And believe me, you'll learn a lot about the subject.
Well, this is not a minor matter to a lot of people.
No.
It's a huge event. And if you don't know it, if that's not part of your world, you might want to consider looking at it because it's starting to be like a lot more happenings all the time.
Yeah. Right. And if you watch the History Channel and you're familiar with ancient aliens, a lot of these people come out in these programs.
Well, people ought to be aware that in El Paso, the El Paso area, there's some ancient civilizations that were right here within the city limits.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there's no telling what that was all about.
You know, and I'm not trying to make light of anything, but I mean, when you start getting the odds people who basically do the odds for the casinos and gambling and betting, sounds silly, but it's not, because they actually have a sight in the sense of notes and figures and people sighting all over the country. I mean, for Texas alone, you're looking at
We had the total here.
Yeah, the total is your chances of seeing a UFO in Texas alone, just in Texas, are 3,395 to 1. And Texas is one of the larger states that you'll have an opportunity to see a UFO or a UFO.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, anything's possible.
We've got to take a break, and then we got to hear from the Calamias, because you have stories we haven't heard yet on this hour. And we'll do that. Sergio, are you ready for the commercial here? Do that, and also take a look at our Facebook page. There's an interesting orb-looking thing there. I want to see what people think about it. Back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
you remember when you were three? Of course you don't. But do you remember when your kid was three? Yeah, so much fun. No more diapers. Score! Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield from the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. Well, guess who's three now? Casa Kia is. Yep, we're this many. And the late nights and terrible twos are behind us. And I'm quite sure none of our employees are in diapers anymore. Score! So if you have some young ones, like I do, I know safety and affordability are top priorities. So you gotta look at the Casa Kia Sportage for just $21,985 or the Casa Kia Forte for $18,985. Look, at Casa Kia, we have six models that start under 25 grand. That's family friendly. And speaking of family, Dad?
Boy, do I remember when you were three. Hey, I'm Clay Lowenfield. Won't tell any bad stories. This is our celebration of 50 years of Casa. So many stories and memories, from inspired to inspiring. I am proud of what my father started at Team Casa, and I am so proud of this next generation. The Casa Way is our commitment to all things home. Welcome to Team Casa, and welcome home.
Here at Casa Key.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
The T.J. Martell Foundation, music's promise for a cure. To learn more, visit tjmartell.org. That's tjmartell.org.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pollard.
A lot going on here. People blowing their nose, everything coming out the other end. Who knows what's going to happen? The International Museum of Art, as we mentioned earlier, was the featured item last Wednesday evening on ABC 7 for our El Paso History TV pieces. Also, they've got movies down there. What about that?
They've got free movies coming up, and they're finishing up on their romantic series today, as a matter of fact. At 2 p.m., they're going to have Somewhere in Time. It's a free movie. It's a wonderful movie. And they've got fresh popcorn, and you've got Jay Duncan out there, and he knows stuff. He's a wonderful movie historian, and he's going to tell you all kinds of details about the movie, things you would never have heard of, and he'll just share all that with you. And this is done every Saturday at the theater inside the International Museum of Art, and they've got some great programs. In fact, March 3rd, Lori Koval, who plays at the Plaza
Theater
at the movie festival, will be playing her piano there.
Is a piano going to rise up out of the floor in the museum?
No, she'd be carried in. Lori,
that would be really cool.
She is a great musician, if you've never heard.
Fair enough.
She is wonderful.
Let's pick a Pepe special now. Diana Calamia, if you would.
Green chili cheese enchiladas.
There you are. Green chili cheese enchiladas is the name of the game today. And that means there's $6 today. Everybody else can get out there and get that. Most of us are going to be out there this afternoon. Did I not finish your story there? Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay, good. So now let's go move into the Calamias quickly on the idea of what you guys have seen. Either one of you, tell us what you want to do. Tell us what you've seen.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Well, somebody go, because we're running out
almost
of time.
Bumped
All
heads.
Right, I'm sorry. I've had, in my personal life, I've had three close encounters, probably of the first kind, maybe getting close to the second kind. I'll only tell you about the last one I had. It was in 1975 or 1976. I was working for the FBI at the time here in El Paso as a clerical employee. I worked the split shift. I normally got off. I went to work at 12 and I got off at 9 p.m. And that night, for some reason, I left late, and it was about 10 o'clock. I was driving north on North Mesa Street. I lived on Shadow Mountain Street at the time in an apartment complex called the Sandpiper, which is now called the Commons, I believe. In any event, as I was driving up on North Mesa, coming to the intersection of Shadow Mountain and North Mesa and Sunland Park, I noticed a very bright light coming out of the south, and its trajectory was headed probably north by northeast. I kept looking at it, and for some reason I was drawn to it. It's extremely bright. As I turned on Shadow Mountain, this large light, illuminating light, passed behind what used to be a Kmart there. And as I got up to what is now Caprock Street, I turned right so that I would be able to park my car in the back parking lot of the apartment complex. At that time, the craft and my car came into the same same trajectory, if you will. And this craft was about as high as a telephone pole. I think they're about 30 feet tall. I rolled down the window, and there was absolutely no sound, absolutely nothing. And everything seemed to kind of be in a vacuum, for lack of a better term. The craft itself was ovoid, about the size of a large SUV, maybe a little bigger. The upper lights were going clockwise, and they were red, blue, and green. And on the bottom of the craft, the lights were going counterclockwise, the same color. The center of the craft was so bright that I kept trying to see some type of metallic skin, something. It was not a helicopter. As I said before, there was no sound. I had been in Vietnam. I know what a helicopter looks like. And this craft, I stopped the car, and the craft then, there was a blockage in the road. It's now a major road. But in any event, it went over a berm, and after that I couldn't see it, but I know that it started to land because it illuminated the desert floor around me. I started to get out and go over the berm so I could look at it, but for some reason I was too scared. So I got back in the car and I left. And it was nothing of an earthly origin that I'm aware of.
What year was that?
1975 or 76.
Wow. J.R. Calamia, thank you for the story. We got to take a news break here and come back in a minute and I see what Diana has found out. Because I think you've seen a thing or two, have you not?
A couple things.
Uh-huh. So we got the news break coming up. And Melissa, we're going to hear about them Marfa lights.
That's right.
They've been going on a lot longer than people know.
Mucho longer.
You went and researched that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Very interesting. After the break for the news, come back and have Melissa and the Marfa lights. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
The unemployment rate is at a 48-year low. Most people that want to work are working. If you're trying to fill a position at your business, you'll have to find the next candidate from the currently employed. iHeartMedia can help you spread the word to 93% of U.S. population. That's right, 93%. Use this radio station to find your next employee driving to or sitting at their current job. You'll have your pick of the most qualified candidates for any position you have available. We can help. Go to iHeartWorks.com. That's iHeartWorks.com.